We hope you receive a blessing from this message given to us through Pastor Craig Barnes.
I would like to welcome everyone sitting in this room, and also those of you who may be tuned in through internet radio from wherever you may be sitting on the face of this planet. It is our privilege that you are here, and it is our prayer that you will receive a blessing from our church service this morning at Cave Springs Ministries. You are on the winning team. In fact, not only is this team going to win, but it has already won, and you are on it, if you vote yes. Remember, in previous sermons, we have studied about Jesus Christ being the representative of the human race, representing us before the Father in heaven. Today, I want to talk a little about what this means to us in a practical sense. How does this affect us in our daily lives? For an illustration, let's turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 35. Numbers, chapter 35. And we're going to talk about refuge this morning. If you don't refuse the refuge, you will receive the protection. Numbers chapter 35, beginning with verse 9. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares, in other words, by accident. Verse 12, And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side of Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. If the death was accidental, the city protected the accused from the revenge of the victim's family. But the city of refuge did not protect him if the incident was premeditated or done in a fit of rage. Let's go down to verse 22 and see what it says here. Numbers 35, verse 22. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, in other words, by accident, he doesn't have anything against him, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him, in other words, an accident, he didn't know he was there, that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm. Once again, he keeps emphasizing this is an accidental happening, an accidental incident. Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. Verse 25, And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his rage, of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood. Whoa. That's pretty serious. If you accidentally kill somebody, you get a trial, and if you're acquitted of doing it on purpose, you become a fugitive in this city of refuge. You are safe as long as you're there. Verse 28, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Well, what is this about the death of the high priest? He was to stay in the city of refuge until the high priest died. Well, what happens to the ministry of the high priest when he dies? Well, it ends, doesn't it? The ministry of the high priest is over at his death. The closing of the priesthood is what happens. Then this corresponds today to the close of probation and the second coming of Jesus. When Jesus closes his high priestly ministry in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, removing the sins of his people and cleansing that sanctuary, then he closes his ministry. And then he can come. And he's looking for a people, the investigative judgment, he's looking for a people who will allow him to do that in them so that he can close his high priestly ministry. And so, when the high priestly ministry is over, then the people are free. Have you killed anybody? Either by accident or on purpose? Well, someone may have. I don't know anybody who has, personally. But if you've committed any sort of sin, you would still fall into this category. If you run to the city of refuge, that represents Jesus Christ. And if you run to him and you remain in him and you don't leave him, you are safe. For he is the city of refuge. Those cities of refuge represented Jesus Christ and his protection. You see, there was to be a trial. The investigative judgment is going on right now. If we repent of our sins, then we would be considered, I guess you could say it this way, to be an accidental situation. If we repent and we are sorry for what we did and we determine to allow God to remove that sin from us so that we never do it again, then we are in the city of refuge. And as long as we remain in Christ, we are protected. We are safe. If in any sin we may have committed, we are unrepentant and we do not allow God to change us, to take away our sin, in that rebellion, we have taken ourselves out of him. We are no longer under his protection from the assaults of Satan. We are on our own. But if at a later time we do repent and choose Christ and give our hearts to him again, we have re-entered that wall of protection. Don't ever leave. But if you do, don't hesitate to come back. Well, how strong is that protection in Christ? From the Desire of Ages, page 324, there is this glorious statement, and I couldn't resist bringing it to you today. Desire of Ages, page 324. When the soul surrenders itself to Christ, a new power takes possession of the new heart. In other words, when we surrender ourselves to Christ, we receive a new heart. Ezekiel 36, a new heart will I give you. A heart of flesh will I give you. When we surrender ourselves to Christ, a new power takes possession of the new heart. A change is wrought which man can never accomplish for himself. It is a supernatural work, bringing a supernatural element into human nature. The soul that is yielded to Christ becomes his own fortress, which he holds in a revolted world, and he intends that no authority shall be known in it but his own. A soul thus kept in possession by the heavenly agencies is impregnable to the assaults of Satan. That's how powerful the wall is of that city of refuge that represents Jesus Christ. We are in him, impregnable to the assaults of Satan. Satan can beat on it and he can try to get in, but he fails at every time. He is turned back at every direction. But, she goes on, but unless we do yield ourselves to the control of Christ, we shall be dominated by the wicked one. We must inevitably be under the control of one or the other of two great powers that are contending for the supremacy of the world. Only two choices. Either Christ or the devil. It is not necessary for us deliberately to choose the service of the kingdom of darkness in order to come under its dominion. We have only to neglect to ally ourselves with the kingdom of light. In other words, we don't have to actually choose Satan. We don't have to say, okay, Satan, come into my heart and do all these things. We don't have to do that. We merely need to choose self and say, I want what I want. That's all we have to do. And that has the same effect. Well, going on, she says, if we do not cooperate with the heavenly agencies, if we do not cooperate with the heavenly agencies, Satan will take possession of the heart and will make it his abiding place. In other words, in order to avoid cooperating with heavenly agencies, we must fight against the power of the Holy Spirit, who will lead us into communion with God. So the heavenly agencies includes the Holy Spirit. And in order to stay away from him, we have to fight against him because he's all over us, trying to get us to say yes to God, wooing us to him. If we do not cooperate, going on, she says, if we do not cooperate with the heavenly agencies, oh, I read that, skipping on down, the only defense against evil is the indwelling of Christ in the heart through faith in his righteousness. Unless we become vitally connected with God, we can never resist the unhallowed effects of self-love, self-indulgence, and temptation to sin. We may leave off many bad habits. For the time, we may part company with Satan. But without a vital connection with God through the surrender of ourselves to him moment by moment, we shall be overcome. Without a personal acquaintance with Christ and a continual communion, we are at the mercy of the enemy and shall do his bidding in the end. We need to be in the city of refuge. We need to be in Christ. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And let's look a little bit at the nuts and bolts of this. Romans chapter 8. Beginning with verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. In other words, we may think we're getting a raw deal right now, but the Lord is permitting that for a better good. So he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are being called according to his purpose. And we are being called. Every day, moment by moment, God is calling us to his purposes. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, and did he foreknow you? Yes, we were created in Adam. God breathed into Adam the breath of lives. It's plural there. We were breathed into Adam. Our lives were there when Adam was created. God foreknew us. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. We are studying in our seminar next weekend will be our seminar, and we've been studying the book of Ephesians where it talks about this very thing, being predestinated to conform to the image of God, being predestinated to being adopted as children in the family. And that's what it's talking about here. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, this idea of predestination does not mean inevitability. We can be predestinated to go to a certain destination. That's what predestinate means. The plan is you are going to go from here to there. That's predestination. However, we can derail God's plans, can't we? He is not going to force his plan on us. And we can say no to him, and we can say, God, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go someplace else. And you know what? He's a gentleman. He will back off. And he will say, okay. But he won't leave you alone. He will come back at another time from another place and try you again or test you again on that point from a different angle. Will you worship God? That is the question. But we can change what God has predestinated for us because he's given us the power of choice. All right, back to verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, that is Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now here is this idea of Christ being the representative of the human race. The firstborn, the first created, is the captain, the author, the one who represents the whole. The first fruit, if you will. The sample that represents the whole population. If you're an auditor, you know what I'm talking about. The firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then also he called. And whom he called, them also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Can that be true? Have we been glorified? Yes, God has given to each of us glorification. Now, we don't experience that glorification today, but that glorification is ours and it's being held in trust by our trustee, capital T, Jesus Christ, is the trustee of our inheritance, of our estate. He did indeed glorify us. He has given us his righteousness. He has given us our glorious bodies, and they are there waiting for us for the time when we need it most. And so we receive from our inheritance as the Lord bestows it as we need it. And that's how it can be back in verse 28 where it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. God doesn't see fit to give us our glorious bodies today, but they're ours. We have title to it, and we will receive it in our experience at the time when we need it. Verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that's indeed a good question. If that wall of our city of refuge is for us, who in the world can penetrate? That wall is impregnable to the power of Satan. So who in the world can be against us? Verse 32, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, Jesus is God's only begotten Son. In Christ is all things. When the Father gave the Son, he gave everything that he had. Even his own existence. For if Jesus had sinned, he would have ceased to exist. He spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he how shall he not with him also freely give you all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. That is, God is the one that makes you righteous. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's where we are. Satan is wanting to kill us like sheep for the slaughter. But that wall around our city of refuge is an impregnable fortress, and Satan cannot get to us. Let us stay in Christ. Well, another passage from that book, Desire of Ages. This idea of being justified, that God has already given that to us. He has already given us his righteousness. From page 311 of Desire of Ages, we have this statement. God's ideal for his children is higher than the highest human thought can reach. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. Then she says, this command is a promise. The plan of redemption contemplates our complete recovery from the power of Satan. And God's word is his promise, because God's word has inherent within it the power to create what it says. So when he says it, he's creating it. And so when he says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, he is creating. And he is creating that perfection in you as he is speaking it. And so this is why she says this command is a promise. And you can claim that promise. And you can go to the Lord and you can say, Lord, I don't know how in the world you're going to make a Christian out of me, but I've given my heart to you. And you have promised that you will do it. And I claim your promise. And I rest everything I am. And I rest everything that I have on your promise, that you might complete it in me. The plan of redemption contemplates our complete recovery from the power of Satan. Christ always separates the contrite soul from sin. He came to destroy the works of the devil, and he has made provision that the Holy Spirit shall be imparted to every repentant soul to keep him from sinning. As long as you remain repentant, you are remaining in that city of refuge. Well, I brought my little book with me. I have actually both volumes of it. Volume 1 is what I'm holding right now. Give Us This Day Our Daily Good News, number 89. And let's see what E.J. Wagner has to say. He says, as we pray, the promise of God comes to our mind, brought there by the Holy Spirit. It may be that we can think of no special promise that exactly fits the case, but we can remember that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. And that he gave himself for our sins. We may know that he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him us for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We just read that, didn't we? We remember that God can speak of those things that are not as though they were. Now, why can he do that? Because his power of his word has inherent within it the power to create what it says. So he can say something that's not there, and there it is. So he can speak of, how does it say? He can speak of those things that are not as though they were. That is, if God gives a promise, it is as good as fulfilled already. Let me read that again. If God gives a promise, it is as good as fulfilled already. And if you were here last week, you remember the sermon about faith. Faith is the substance of things expected. And that's exactly the same thing as what's being said here. If God gives a promise, it is as good as fulfilled already. It is the substance. And when we believe, we receive the substance in our experience as we need it. Going on, he says, and so we count the victory as already ours and begin to thank God for his exceeding great and precious promises. Now, what does that mean? Well, when you wake up in the morning and you give your heart to the Lord that morning, you know that you are his, and you know that you are have entered that city of refuge, and you know that that wall of protection is around you, and you can go forth in confidence knowing that your God is with you. And he is holding you. And so we can count the victory as already ours and begin to thank God for his exceeding great and precious promises. Going on, he says, as our faith grasps these promises, we cannot help praising God. And while we are doing this, our minds are wholly taken from evil and the victory is ours. The Lord sets ambushes against the enemy. This shows Satan that we have obtained reinforcements. And as he has tested the power of the help granted to us, he knows that he can do nothing on that occasion, and so he leaves us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And another verse, Matthew 21, verse 22, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. And all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And I might add, as you need it. As you need it. Turn with me to the 46th Psalm. Psalm number 46. This is one of the best passages on refuge that I know. Psalm 46, beginning with verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That would be awesome to witness that, wouldn't it? Will we fear then? No, we won't. Will it happen? Yes, it will. Will we be afraid? Not if we're in the city. If we're in that city of refuge, we will not be afraid. Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, and then it says, think about it. That's what the word Selah means. Pause and think. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Think about it. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Think about it. Are you in Christ? Have you let him have your heart? If not, do it now. Let him have your heart right now. When he comes to you and says there is something in your life that is hurting you, that will bring you down, let him have it. He will come to each one of us And he will say, brother, sister, there is something in your life that's hurting you. It will eventually take you to the lake of fire. Let me have it. Let me take it away. Let me give you my righteousness in its place, that you might be full of the fullness of God. Let him have it. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to the Holy Spirit. Let God have your heart. If you say no, he won't get angry. He'll say, okay, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way. But he will come back. And unless you commit the unpardonable sin and grieve away the Holy Spirit, and don't do that, when he comes, say yes. Every time you say no, you endanger yourself that you might grieve away the Holy Spirit. And then there's nobody to come and say, hey, you got a problem. Now, life is easy that way because nobody's accusing you. Not even the devil will accuse you then. He's got you. Don't let that happen. And as long as you haven't done that, he will come back to you and he'll say, okay, let's try it from this angle. Will you let me have this? And when you say yes, he will take it away. And then he will give you more light. Then he will show you something else that he wants to take away. And it will keep advancing that way until he finally gets to the last thing. Ellen White used to pray, Lord, show me my worst case. You know, that's a dangerous thing. You really want to see it? Well, yes, you do. And he will show it to you eventually when you're ready to see it. And she'd say, show me my worst case, with the idea being that maybe that's the last one. Whether it is or not, I don't know. But he will eventually get to the last one. And then when that last thing is given over to him, you know, it's not an infinite thing. We don't have infinite sin. Satan is not infinite. But the Lord is. And his righteousness is infinite. And he will eventually get to the last thing if you let him. And when that is gone, then you can be sealed for the kingdom. You won't know when you're sealed because Satan will keep accusing you. And the Lord isn't going to say, okay, you've arrived, you're safe now. No, he won't do that. We won't know that until Jesus comes. When he comes, then we'll know. But God's people will not know, even though they've been sealed. And I really don't think they'll know when the close of probation has happened either. Because there won't be any more sealing after that. Well, if you have not let the Lord have your heart, let him have it now. And say yes to him right now. And he will keep showing you new things until he is finally done. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll look at verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. In other words, don't want anything that is not yours. You already have all things. God has given you all things in his Son Jesus. Even your glorious body is being held in trust for you for the time when you need it. So you don't need to covet anything. The Lord will let you have it in your experience at the right time. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, verse 6, the Lord is my helper. And what a helper. He is our total enabler. He causes us to keep his law. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. From our little book, Give Us This Day Our Daily Good News, number 120. A.T. Jones talks to us now. He says, instead of the power of earth that we cannot depend upon, and which is decidedly set against us, God gives us the power of God. Instead of reputation, God gives us character. Instead of earthly riches, houses, lands, property, business considerations, or anything of the kind, God gives us Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and you are complete in him, Colossians 2, verse 10. God has appointed him to be heir of all things, and we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. That's why we don't need to be covetous. Suffering with him is our graduation, if you will. That's what it takes to graduate from this university. If indeed we suffer with him, we are joint heirs with Christ, that we may also be glorified together, Romans 8:17. He is heir of all things, and we are joint heirs. Then how much belongs to us? All things. Then what have we? All things that God has. Then are we not rich? Instead of this life, which the powers of earth would take away, God gives us his life. When he asks us to take a position in allegiance to him and his cause, the Lord simply says, here is eternal life to start with. Then has not the Lord fully armed us? Oh, then let us have on the armor of God now. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That is where the Lord wants us to stand, and that is what he wants us to do. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now what are you going to do? Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, Joshua 24:15, and which course you will take. You are now in God's hands. What do you have to worry about? Well, let's turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. And we'll look at verse 15. Do we need to worry about even this? Let's find out. Revelation 13, 15. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Once again, from our little book, Give Us This Day, Our Daily Good News. This is, I just read from number 120. I'm going to read now from number 118. This would be in volume 2. And once again, it's A.T. Jones. The time will come when he who stands to his allegiance to the third angel's message will have the penalty of death pronounced upon him. His life will be declared forfeited by the powers of this earth. Then can any question of life come into our calculations now? Shall one weigh up what his life is worth now and weigh anything in his calculations as to whether he is going to stand by the third angel's message or not? When all earthly support and protection are taken away, and we do not know what that means. We've never been through it. There's a story of when one day we didn't have anything for breakfast, and the bread truck broke down in front of our house, or in front of our place on the highway, and we had breakfast. That's a wonderful story, but that's not quite the same as this. When all earthly support and protection are taken away, when all questions of reputation, which the world thinks so much of, are taken away, with all questions of property or business of any kind, and when all questions of life are taken away, how much is left? None. Then it is time for every one of us to think very seriously indeed. But thank the Lord, we need not be afraid of our enemy. The Lord will never allow one to be shut up in a place where he does not expect to take us out a great deal more gloriously than if we had never got in there. Let me read that again. The Lord will never allow one to be shut up in a place where he does not expect to take us out a great deal more gloriously than if we had never got in there. The Lord does not call upon you or me to forfeit anything, but that in the place of it, he will give us that which is worth infinitely more. When he calls upon us to stand in allegiance to his truth, which shuts off from us all considerations of earthly support or protection, then he simply says, here is all the power of heaven and earth for you. Here is the covering of the Almighty drawn over you. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33:27. Be not afraid. That is his word, is it not? Let us go on our way with singing then. Let's stand for the benediction. Our benediction is taken from Romans 8. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
For unto you is born this day. risen with